Well, hello and welcome to the Bring Back the Poetry podcast. My name is Jason Tomlinson. Thank you so much for joining me. Happy Poetry Month. Happy National Poetry Month. This has been the best National Poetry Month I have ever had in my life. Man, I'm so thrilled that this month I've been able to continue on writing it and posting a poem every day, doing a podcast almost every day, not quite every day. I think I missed a day or two here or there. The people I have been able to interview and feature, if you missed any of the feature interviews this month, I strongly suggest you go back and listen to all the Sundays this month. Let's see here. The first Sunday was Tia Mitchell, and then we went on to Crystal Jones, and then we went on to Rashad the Poet, Rashad Rayford. What's up, y'all? Tia, Crystal, and Rashad, phenomenally talented and gifted and humble performers. Speaking of all of those adjectives, that brings me to today's interview and feature. Today, I'm going to run the interview that I was able to get with Minton Sparks from, actually interviewed her just a week ago. And thank you so much to the group. Is it a nonprofit? I forget if it's a nonprofit or if it's just a club. But there is at least a group here in town in Hendersonville called Exploratory. That's Explorastory. You can look up their group on Facebook. Exploratory is a storytellers club or group here in town in Hendersonville. And they had the first annual Hendersonville Storytellers Festival. And they had Minton Sparks out to be the main attraction, the main feature, and the keynote, whatever it is. It was awesome. I was able to go out there and listen to about half a dozen storytellers, all gifted, all engaging, and very interesting, very good to listen to. And I was able to listen to Minton Sparks. What had gone on between Minton and I prior to that event was we had done a little bit of messaging on Facebook. Out of the blue, I messaged Minton and asked, could I please interview you and feature you for my podcast for National Poetry Month? Lo and behold, she said yes. This never happens. Now, I know that if you're listening to this, you may or may not be a poetry nerd like me. I am a big-time poetry nerd. Not nearly big enough. But as it stands, I happen to know that Minton Sparks is very well known in the poetry, spoken word, and even country music community here in Nashville. And she has been overseas. She's been to Ireland. I don't know where else in Europe she has been. She has performed, of course, many times. She's been at a lot of venues here in Nashville, the Bluebird Cafe, and she's been at the Ryman, and she has been at the Grand Ole Opry a couple of times. And if you don't know what the Grand Ole Opry is, there's nothing like it for other genres of music. I mean, it's completely unique to country music. The way somebody was talking about it to me a few days ago, they said the Grand Ole Opry is, if you're on there, you are one of three kinds of artists and performers. You either were somebody, you are somebody, or you are about to be somebody. And I would say that Minton Sparks is in two of those categories. She is somebody, and she's about to be somebody. I can't wait just to see what her career continues to do as far as spreading her stories and her poetry and her art all over the place. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that I've written a poem in tribute to Minton Sparks, and it is Tall Tale Teller. Before I speak it for you, Minton She likes to tell stories. She likes to tell stories about growing up in the South with her mother and father and her brothers and with all of her relatives. And so in a really true sense, she stands on the shoulders of her family and her ancestors. And professionally, you'll hear her reference the fact that professionally she could not have been this successful without the help of so many people that have helped her along the way. Instrumentalists, production people, engineering people, booking people. Okay. She has produced 5 albums. Her latest, called Gold Digger, is a phenomenal album. I just downloaded it here a few weeks ago. And she tells stories that you can easily identify with, and she tells stories that take tragedy to a whole nother level that some of you will still be able to identify with, but are really engaging and great to listen to nonetheless. Yeah, so she has 5 albums, 4 studio albums, and 1 live album, and all just wonderful pieces of work. So here is my tribute to Minton, Tall Tale Teller. On the shoulders of so many, she makes her stand today. She towers to such a height that none of us can look away, because the beauty and the familiar significance we see reminds us of people and places where we used to be. Perhaps a different town, perhaps a different name, but her stories serve to remind us that we are mostly the same. And though she acknowledges dysfunction and pain, bullies and bad guys driving us insane, it yields encouragement to just to think. And remember, with a smile and a wink, or perhaps a tear silently shed at the depth of the things she just said, and what she's lived and what she sings, it's more than just what one moment brings. More than just these words in metered rhyme, more than even just her lifetime, but the living and the dead speak through her verses, and through tales of humor, a blessings of curses, a richness is discovered in the wonder that is shown. Villains and cheaters though we be, we are never alone. When Minton performs, she'll even... I remember her telling this to the audience that day when I saw her a week ago. She says, you know, I'll hope when you leave, you might call somebody up and say, you know, there's something I've never told you. Something very therapeutic about getting together with, you know, people who have stories to tell. And, you know, that's the currency of stories. Just stories, story begets story. I'm going to go ahead and switch on over to her interview, and then we'll finish out here, finish out strong. Here we go. Sitting here with Minton Sparks. She is an author, she is a poet, she is a performer, singer. How you doing, Minton?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. We're going to get right to it here. Your name, Minton Sparks, that comes from your grandmother, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And when you use that name, is that to pay tribute to your grandmother, or?
I don't use it, it's my name.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
So, yeah.
Sorry about that. When you started writing poetry when you were a little girl, did you have any early influences? Who influenced you to write poetry?
My best friend.
Okay.
So we were the poet laureates of our third grade class. So probably my third grade teacher and my best friend.
You're the second person to say a third grade teacher here lately.
Yeah.
What was the first poem you ever loved?
Our World is Getting Dirty, which was mine that won the prize.
I like that very much. Was that also the first poem you ever memorized?
No, you know, Wise Old Owl, Sad and Oak. I mean, I had a lot of rhymes. Mm-hmm. I actually had a lot of psalms already memorized because I grew up and had to memorize psalms for kindergarten. So I already knew like the 100th psalm, and I don't know what number they were, but I knew them
already. Right. Have you ever gotten in trouble for doing the right thing or for saying the right thing?
Gotten in trouble for saying the right thing? You mean like speaking truth to power in some way?
That sounds good.
I don't think I've gotten in trouble, no.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm lucky.
Right. Yeah.
Exiled from Memphis, no.
It's all right.
I am from a dancing bunch of silly siblings. Moonwalking like Michael Jackson, Smokey Robinson's Tears of a Clown. From a dank kitchen of burnt bacon and a pop sound of a face slapping for daring to dispute the word of my mad mama. College boy, Yankee. I'm from a half-broke horse, Hogs. Two cats and six dogs named Rascal Number One, Rascal Number Two, Rascal Number Three, Four, Five, and Rascal Number Six. Can I get a witness? Do you follow me? From the foul line, way past dinner time. Sink 20 free throws, girl, or don't come inside for supper.
The writing workshops that y'all have been able to do these last 4 years, that's gone well.
Mm-hmm.
Has anything surprised you about that?
But it's gone well. It's been surprising. I mean, we meet every month, and then we do 2 weekend workshops a year. And now I teach the workshop pretty much wherever I go and perform.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm always surprised by people's stories. I mean, just hearing where people are willing to take themselves on their own writing journey and who they are as a writer versus who they are as a speaker is always different. So that's always surprising.
Have your words or actions ever saved somebody's life?
Now, you don't know because you put stuff out there, you know, in public ways. So not that I know of.
Okay.
I was a therapist for a long time, probably more then than now.
Sure.
I don't know. I couldn't claim that with full authority.
Okay. Conversely, have anybody's words or actions saved your life?
Oh, yeah. I'm totally into bibliotherapy. I mean, I always find a book right at the right time. So, a million times, you know. I don't know why I just thought of composing a life. That I found that right after I had a child. That was very helpful. And a lot of Adrian Rich's work was life-saving. And John O'Donohue's book, Beauty. And lots of times.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely, long for heaven? Cousin Connie's fenced in out at the Tennessee prison for women. Coiled razors devil down morning's throat, make it bleed crimson hope. Sharp steel, cold sweat. I'll never forget this and her out there. Jailed birds catcalled like desperate men. Shake it, lady! She's summoned by her number, not her name. 201-373, cell block B. Cell block B. We're crammed in a cubicle without a window. I'm strangling a tooth-whittled pencil, trembling as I point to the page.
When, as you travel all over the world, is that right? All over the world?
Mm-hmm.
What's been one of your most favorite places to perform that people might not expect?
I don't know if they wouldn't expect it. We were in Ireland, in Northern Ireland, and that was just amazing because it really felt like people came for bread instead of entertainment. They were coming to poetry as bread, which was very different. You know, I mean, there's, because it's not such a cushy situation. So that was really interesting to me. I remember that. It's memorable.
Good. You've got to perform at the Grand Ole Opry, overseas, all over the United States. Do you have any interest in acting in movies?
I have recently been acting more. I did a couple of videos for other people recently. That's not out of the question.
Okay.
It's not out of the question at all. My brother's an actor. He's an actor and a director and
okay.
is in movies and
okay.
television, so... You know, he's been really instrumental in my career, so yeah, I can see that.
Wonderful. When you produced Midland Sisters,
mm-hmm.
that was your first album back in 2001.
Yep.
Did you expect all of this?
No. I mean, that was a total fluke.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, never expected anything, because it's not a genre.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
it's not even anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's its own thing.
Yeah.
So, no, we were really lucky. Dual Tone picked us up. So very first record, we kind of made it. Waylon Jennings was nice enough to kind of do, because my best friend was his manager. It was a very fluke kind of thing. And Daryl Scott played everything on the record for free.
Wow.
And because, you know, it was like, what are you even doing? And so that's where that came from. And
yeah.
it was just, the whole career I have has been from people helping me. Because...
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's not, there's not a path to follow.
Yeah.
My daddy was a streaker. He struck at 6 o'clock. Coming out of his company man mind, his skinny tie suit, dark socks. He was pioneering before it was popular, strutting outside the box. I like some dockside sneakers on my lily white streaker. He'd pin two ends of a Ramada Inn towel beneath his double chin, arms out to air surf the length of our living room den, knees up high like the floor's on fire. Man's got a Tennessee walking horse stride. Knocking over knickknacks, the screen door slams, Popeye's on the TV yelling, I am what I am, what I am. He's conducting a clinic on facets of free. His right to bare arms, bare chest, and bare knees. Let the chips fall where they may, kids. Come on, we only saw his back, side, hind end, big bottom jaw.
As a poet, did you have this kind of realization that there was something in between just being a poet and the performer
mm-hmm.
that you are now? You basically just answered the question of people helping you all along
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, so many helpers.
Yeah, yeah. What's next?
I don't know. We've got two new videos coming out, and I'm songwriting a lot more. So I didn't songwrite at first, but I'm kind of figuring that out. And what else is next? I've got a Eat, Paint, Write, which is this new company.
In Europe?
Yeah, so we're going to be doing those workshops, hopefully just in... beautiful places all over the place. And so, yeah, I don't know, traveling.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being with us this today. We can find you at mittensparks.com.
Yep.
And there's information there about your poetry, your music, and the workshops.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Bye.
Buddy, it was... such an honor and such a privilege to have sat down and talked with her. What I forgot to mention, and you might have heard some people talking or some dogs about some dogs barking in the background. What had happened was we had gone upstairs in the Hendersonville Public Library, and I had hoped to secure one of the study rooms in order to conduct our interview. Ended up going outside because there were no rooms available, so we actually just sat outside, which for her, from my perspective, seems a lot more appropriate because most of her stories are in the country. So there you have it. Next week is May. Next Sunday, of course, will be May. And during May, Bring Back the Poetry is going to be focused on people and family members of patients who have cystic fibrosis. We're going to be changing gears completely different from April. May is National Cystic Fibrosis Awareness Month. And as it turns out, I have quite a few friends that and acquaintances that have cystic fibrosis and that have family members that have cystic fibrosis. Next week, we are going to be featuring an interview with Courtney Nichols, who lives right here in Hendersonville. And I strongly encourage you to definitely come back at least by next Sunday, if not tomorrow, because we're going to be finishing out National Poetry Month strong. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you to my features again, Tia Mitchell, Crystal Jones, Rashad the Poet, and Minton Sparks, all for allowing me to gain from your wisdom, knowledge, and experience, and as well as inspiring my listeners in addition to what I'm able to toss out there. We will see you all tomorrow, metaphorically speaking, and have a great night. Thank you.